I'm using downstairs. I'm cutting through downstairs. Truth is, the first time I went to Machon Meir, and Rav Lisman, head of English, showed me around. And he took me to the Beit Midrash, when we got into the Beit Midrash, he sat down, mumbled some stuff, and then carried the water, right? And I was like, what's it? And he was showing me to me.
One guy in the synagogue could come in the synagogue, bring his stuff, and then he go to the mikveh. So go in, put his stuff there, sit 1 second, and then he go out. He not put his stuff there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I listen to him. When you go, you cross the middle of Russia, not stay there, you have to sit for
okay,
one
so
second, open the book and read.
Okay, so we're going to see now different rules on this. Brachot 62b. What is a compendria? We're learning what a compendria is. First answer of what a compendria is a shortcut. What's it teach us if it's a shortcut? The Mishnah comes to teach us that you're not allowed to make a shortcut through the Beit HaMikdash. And we're learning also from there you're not allowed to make a shortcut through a Beit Knesset. Through a shul, synagogue. Okay. Barav Chana Bar Ada, Mishmei Derav Sama, Barei Derav Mari, Amar. Rav Chana Bar Ada says, in the name of Rav Sama, the son of Rav Ami Mari, command Amar Inish. Like people say, Adamakipna Adale Eyul Baha. Instead of going around the rows, I will go in here. Instead of going around the rows of houses, I'll take a shortcut through here. Adamakipna Adare. Adamakipna, I guess, the same lashon of Kapandria. Although,
say the same thing.
Although it's the opposite. My kif now means to go round, compendium means to take a shortcut. Same idea. Okay. Amar Rab Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avuha. Nachman teaches us the name of Rabba Bar Avuha. Han Nichnas LeBeit HaKnesset. Al Manat Shelo LaSoto Kapandria. Mutar LaSoto Kapandria. If one enters into a Beit Knesset, a shul, intending not to use it as a shortcut, he is permitted to use it as a shortcut. What does it mean? It means if he doesn't intend to, and it turns out that that's what he's doing, he goes in there in order to daven mincha, and he realizes that he got the time wrong and there's no mincha. So he's allowed to cut through the other side and come out, because that's easy. I can get to another shul the other side quicker. I don't have to go back to the same entrance, come round. I can. Okay, so if I didn't intend to use it as a shortcut, then it's not a bizayon, I guess. It's not, I don't know what we learn. Hashkopically from that. Or if you're in there for a good reason, you came to study, and you went, or to daven, and then after davening, or after studying, you don't have to daven to go out the long way. You can use one of the other exits that will get you a shortcut to where you need to go to. Because you used it for a proper purpose, and now you can use it for shortcut. Rabbi Abahu Amar, Im Hayashvil, Meikaro Mutar. If there was a path, Meikaro originally, Mutar, it is permitted. 62b5, Samach Bet, what bet?
Don't get there.
Ah, see, now it's the first one.
This is the one that's going to run, not finding it.
Oh, Okay, so what does it mean? It means if there was already a path there that people used as a shortcut, and then they built a Beit Knesset over it, then you can still carry on using it.
What's this bit?
Which is it? Go down. Have a look.
Yeah. Here. Next. Okay.
Paul?
No. Sein, Kino? Ja.
Samus Bet, yes?
Yeah, it's not nice. Right.
They put up a big Knesset, they can't do it anymore, so they're allowed to. But for their children, there wasn't a shortcut. Never a shortcut.
Right. Well, here, although the Lashon of the Gemara here is Im Hayashvil, if there was a path there, Mutar, meaning for everyone, not if you had used it before as a shortcut, you could continue. It seems to be. Not where the person used it seems to be. Amar Rav Chelbo. Rav Chelbo says the name Rav Chuna. Hanichnas lebeit Knesset litpalel. Utar la'asot tor kapandria. A person who goes into shul to pray is allowed to use it as a kapandria, as a shortcut when he leaves.
What is kapandria?
Shortcut.
Ah, that's it.
Kitzel derech.
So kapandria is mischer that he allowed to speak the mischer, motzel, something like. No, something about.
Only about.
To cut away.
Yeah. Shneimar. Like it says in the passage in Ezekiel, Yehezkel, Ubavo am haaretz lifnei Hashem v'moadim. When the people of the land come before Hashem on the festivals, the rest of that passage reads: one who enters by way of the north gate to bow down shall lead by way of the south gate. And one who enters by way of the south gate shall lead by way of the north gate. He may not return by the gate through which he came, but he must lead through the gate opposite him. Interesting. So this obligates a person to go through a different gate than he came in. And the Peirush here is that it's inevitable that for some people this will represent a shortcut. Nevertheless, in order to properly perform the mitzvah, one must pass through all of the temple courtyard and not simply turn around and leave. For by deliberately making his way through all of the courtyard, he demonstrates his great love for the holy temple. Okay.
I wonder if you can walk through one shul
to get to another.
Take a shortcut in order to get to another shul behind it when you're going to study it out.
Don't think so.
So you can go out there.
That's what we're doing here. Don't think so. I don't know. I think the best way anyway is to, if we can, to stop and say a pasuk. Say any learning, any study, Shema Yisrael, whatever it is, then you've used it. Hashem, you've used it for mitzvah. Okay, next, Urakikan Kal Bachomer. The Mishnah said, after giving us that rule about not using the Beit HaMikdash as a shortcut, said, and spitting from a Kal Bachomer. So, before we get to the Kal Bachomer, we're going to have just a related law. Amar Rav Bivi, spit. Yeah, we don't know why. Why is the Kal Vachomer? Kal Vachomer, I mean, I know, we're going to see here probably in the Gemara, but Kal Vachomer, I would suggest at this point, because if you're not allowed to disgrace the temple courtyard by using it as a shortcut, then for sure you can't spit on the floor. It's more of a disgrace.
Went to the Knesset in Italy, there was a spittoon before you entered
Spit what?
Spittoon.
Spittoon. It's an American Western term.
Yeah, they used to spit a lot.
They were using chewing tobacco.
Within the
Beit Knesset itself within the front door. People would close to the windows. I would never seen that before.
Nope.
Wasn't a different room that come here and curse? This for Spitul, this for curse, this for Adonton.
No, no, I think you're allowed to spit in a shul. I think you are allowed to spit in the Beit HaMikdash. Should not. I think you're allowed in the old days, not today. No, that's what on the floor. Yeah, in the old days where there was no floor, you had dust and you would just put it, push it into the dust, and it's not. But now, obviously, not on the tile.
Even not in the shul, in a regular place, it's hashash for Bati Shaktu.
Hashash for what?
Bati Shaktu. Somebody sees somebody that you speak like it's even has a gross, like a nigal.
Right. The Gemara says a person that has to pay for someone who he sees him spit and feels disgusted by him.
He in the synagogue when he was new. Wow, he was a guy who was speaking in the floor.
Anyone who spits in Har HaBayit in our day, nowadays. Right, after the destruction of Beit HaMikdash. Ke'ilu rokek bevatei noach. It's like he spits in his eye. Bevatei noach, the pupil of his eye. Shneema, like it says, of his eye. When it says his eye, it means Hashem's eye. Ke'ilu spitting in Hashem's eye. Why? Even though there's no temple there. By you, Einai, Velibi, Sham, Kol Ayamim. Because my eyes and heart will be there all the days, even after the destruction. Okay. Regarding spitting in a shul, let's see. Amar Rava, Rekika Baveta Knesset, Sharia, Mide Dahava, Amneil. Spitting in a shul is permitted, since his law is similar to that of wearing a shoe. What does that mean? Ma min al baharabayit asor beveit haknesset mutar. Just like wearing shoes on harabayit is forbidden, but in a beit haknesset is permitted. Afrikika, so spitting baharabayit to asor beveit haknesset sharing. It's forbidden on harabayit, but it's permitted in a shul. Although not ideal if there's tiles. Ama le rav papa le rav. Vamra vamre la ravina le rav. Right? Rav Papa said to Rava, and other people said it was Ravina who said to Rava. Vamre la Rav Adarbar. And other people say it was Rav Adarbar Masna said to Rava. Someone said to Rava. It was either Rav Papa, it was Ravina, or it was Rav Adarbar Masna. One of them said the following thing to Rava. Adyan lif mi mana'al ne laf mi kapandria. Instead of deriving from the shortcut. What do we say? We said a shortcut, you're not allowed to do from Har HaBayit. We learned that from the Mishnah. And we said we learn from here that you're not allowed to do it in a Beit Knesset either. And we took the opposite view for a shoe. We said shoes you're not allowed to wear on Har HaBayit. And we're going to learn out that you are in a Beit Knesset. Which way are you going to go? You're going to say we learn out from Har HaBayit to a Beit Knesset, it's the same law. Or you're going to say, no, we dafka learn that the Har HaBayit is more strict, so you can be more lenient in a shul. Which way are you going to go? You've gone two different ways. First of all, in the case of making a shortcut, you kept the same rule. So just because you're not allowed to do it in Beit Knesset, Beit HaMikdash, so too, Beit Knesset. And then you switched, and you said, a shoe, you're not allowed to wear a Beit HaMikdash. But you are in a shoe. So, you've got to have your learnings, you've got to be straight. It can't be a... Amale, he said to him, right, Rava said back to whichever one it was, Tana yalef mi manal, va'at amalta mi kapandia. A tana derives the law of spitting from wearing a shoe, and you say that it should be from the law of a shortcut. You can't argue with the tana. He's telling them. Right, so one of these Amorites came to a rabbi and said, what's going on here? It doesn't seem to be right. And Rava apparently is answering, the Tanna said so. Stop arguing. If he says this is how you learn it out, this is how you learn it out. You're right, fine. It sounds a little bit, you've got, right, so let's see. Let's carry on, we're not done. Maihi, what is the Tanna, what is the Tanaic look teaching that Seth taught about the shoe? The Tanya, it was taught in the Brisa. Lo yikanes adam laharabayit. Person shouldn't go to Harabayit. Lo b'maklob shiviyadot. This is right. This is similar to our Mishnah. It's not our Mishnah though, so it's a Brisa. Not with a stick in his hand. Lo b'mana alo shebaraglo. And not with a shoe on his foot. Lo b'maot hatzurim. Lo b'sidino. Nor with money tied into his handkerchief. Ubapundato muf shelet lachorav. And not with his money belt hung outside his clothing.
Bet HaMikdash, they were walking with a barefoot?
Yeah, yes.
Like real barefoot or some...
Oh, a different type of shoe?
Yeah.
Maybe not leather, maybe. I think
it was bare feet. Because there was something in the Gemara about the Kohanim catching colds all the time.
From the floor, right.
I think there are dead people that they go to Harabait.
Yeah.
Most of the rabbis are against, but some of them have some support, a lot of whom, what rabbis. So I think that they were maybe Lalmad.
Okay, it may be also just depends which places you're going on to, like, and how about it. Okay, but lo yaseh kapandrian, he shouldn't make it a shortcut. Urakika mi kavachomer mi mena'al, and spitting a kavachomer mi mena'al from the shoe. Right, so the writer here is telling us exactly what the kavachomer is. Uma mena'al, what to a shoe, she'ein bo derech bizayon, which is not disrespectful to wear a shoe. Amra Torah, the Torah said, shal na'alecha me'aweglecha, take your shoes upon your feet. Right? Hashem said to Moshe at the burning bush. Rekika shehi derech bizayon, which is a way of disrespect. Lo kol shechem. So that's the kavachomer that we learn out from the shoe. If a shoe, which is something which is not disrespectful, is not allowed to wear, then for sure kavachomer, something which is disrespectful, spitting, you're not allowed to do. Okay. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda says, "Eino sarich. We don't need this kavachomer." Why not? Harei hu omer, because it's stated. Oh, look, we've got a Purim. Purim reference here now. Ki ein lavo el shah melech belevush sak. Right, Mordechai was not able to approach the shah melech, the gate of the king, in levush sak, in sackcloth. You can therefore say this is a kavachomer. Umasak. What is there about sackcloth? She'eino ma'us, which is not repulsive. Lifnei basar v'dam. Before one of flesh and blood. Right? Meaning the king. Ahasuerus. Kach. Rekika, which is repulsive. Shehi Musa, which is repulsive. Lefnei melech b'alhem achim, before Hashem Yibarach. lo koshechen. Right, if you can't wear sack in front of a heaven, an earthly king, then for sure you can't spit in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not clear why Rabbi Yossi wants, what's he trying to do here? He's trying to learn out a Kal Vachomer from Megillat Esther instead of learning out a Kal Vachomer from the Torah HaKadosh. Obviously, he thinks that he's got a reason for saying why this Kal Vachomer is a more preferable one. He's not going to jump to Megillat Esther to learn out a Kal Vachomer if you've got something that you can rely on in the Holy Torah.
Does Rashi say anything? Because it sounds very interesting.
Look. Nope.
They all say that whenever the word king is used in the...
That's a drash. Nachon. It means Hashem. You're right, for sure. But here he's Davka taking it the other way. He's saying a king. He's saying king of flesh and blood. And then Kal Vachomer, from the fact that you can't wear sackcloth in front of flesh and blood, for sure you can't spit in front of the King of Kings. So, just a thought. Either way, we still have a Kal Vachomer from one of them, learning out the Lord spitting. Amale, he said to him, right, that was Rabba's response. Rabba responded, right, to one of those other Amoraim, said, why don't we learn out from the law of the shortcut and not learn out from the law of spitting? Not learn out from the law of shoes, that you can't spit. So Rabba responded by saying, because it's a Kal Vachomer that we learned in a Braita. And it's a Tanna that said it, and you can't argue with him. Amale, then he said back to him, the other person who was arguing, Ana hachi kami. Now, this is what I wanted to say. Neima hacha lochumra v'hacha lochumra. I didn't want to learn out a leniency. You're right. He's saying, I wanted to, but let's learn out a chumra. When I said to you, why don't we learn out the law from the law of making a shortcut, but you're not allowed to do it either. I wasn't trying to give a leniency to a shortcut and say you can see from the law of spitting that you're allowed to do it in a Beit Knesset. You're not allowed to do it in Harabayit, but you're allowed to do it in a Beit Knesset. So too the law of shortcut, you're not allowed to do it in Harabayit because it's more strict. So maybe you are allowed to do it in the Beit Knesset. So I wasn't trying to get a leniency, I wasn't trying to squeeze a leniency in by saying we should do them both the same. I was going to go the other way. Maybe you misunderstood me. I wanted it to be a chumrah. Why not name a hacha lechumrah, b'hacha lechumrah? Why not take both of them as a chumrah, which is actually what we said in the first place, right? Which is that why not say that also a shortcut you're not allowed to do, and also spitting you're not allowed to do, right? Take them both as a chumrah, right? And Ve'ema.
So in Beit HaMikdash, you were not allowed to make a kapandria, shortcut.
Yes.
But in the shul today,
you're not allowed.
Alemais.
You're not allowed.
We didn't say.
We didn't say like this.
We didn't no. say that we allowed to no. make kapandria?
No, in a shul, no, you're not allowed to make kapandria. The Ema, and I will say, Harabayit da'asur b'na'al. I would argue as follows. The Harabayit, which is forbidden to wear shoes, le'elotfa b'na'al. Let us derive from the shoe. Right? But let's derive the law of spitting from the shoe, which is what we do. Right? That's the Kal Vachomer. Aval Beit Knesset de'sharei b'na'al, but a shoe which is permitted to wear shoes, ajalif mimanal leheter. Instead of deriving the shoe from there and permitting it, permitting spitting. Nelef mikapandria ulaso, let's derive it from the kapandria, make it forbidden. Right, so what's he saying? Ah, saying like this. I don't want to learn a leniency out, I want to learn a khumra out. Where am I going to learn a khumra out? I'm going to learn it out from the kapandria. Yeah, that's the same thing. I think it's just what we said. Look. Right. Yeah, I think it's just what we said before. Right? Instead of learning out that the spitting is a heter from the now, let's learn out that spitting is a isor, is an isor from the kapandria. Yeah, I've lost you. I'm with you.
I didn't understand.
No. Okay. So the Mishnah gave us a few different rules. There are things you're not allowed to do on the Beit HaMikdash. One of them is you're not allowed to wear shoes. Another is you're not allowed to make a shortcut. And the third one is says Kal Vachomer spitting. Now we've got all the laws. Those three laws: no spitting, no shoes, and no shortcuts. For Beit HaMikdash, the Mishnah says clear. No one's arguing with the Mishnah. Everyone agrees you're not allowed to do any of those things. Question is, what do we do now in a shul? Do I learn from the Beit HaMikdash? Two options. Either I can say the Beit Knesset is like a Beit Mikdash Ma'at. It's the same thing. Same rules apply. Things we don't do over there, Beit HaMikdash, we don't do either in a shul. Or do I learn the opposite and I say, the fact that the Mishnah comes to teach me that in a Beit HaMikdash I don't do this, so I can learn that in a shul, which is less, I would. The fact that you tell me you're not allowed to do it in the strict place, so in the lenient place, it's okay. So we've got two options, because the Tanayim, who we can't question, learnt out two different ways. One, they learnt out the Kapandria you're not allowed to do in either. But the other thing they learned out is that the spitting, the shoe, you are allowed to wear shoes in the Beit Knesset, but you're not allowed to in the Beit Mikdash. So they learned out two different things: the shoe and the kapandria. They learned out two different ways. They're both forbidden in the Beit Mikdash, but in a shul, one's permitted and one's forbidden. Right?
But you are allowed to go to shul with barefoot?
No, you're allowed to go with shoes. You're not allowed to go to shoes under the Harabai.
Oh.
But you are allowed to go to shoes in fact. So there are two different rules. So along comes the arguer with Rava and says to Rava, why don't we learn out spitting as a Kal Vachomer? The Mishnah says Kal Vachomer. So why don't I learn out that Kal Vachomer? You tell me that it's a Kal Vachomer from shoes. Just like shoes are not permitted over there, but they are permitted here. So too, spitting is not permitted over there, but it's here. Why don't you learn the Kal Vachomer not from shoes? Why don't you learn it out from Kapandria? What does it mean to learn out from Kapandria? Just like Kapandria is forbidden over there, so too it's forbidden over here. Why do I learn spitting from that? Because spitting, even more so, if taking a shortcut is not so disgusting, then spitting for sure is. So if a kapandria is disallowed in both, forbidden there, forbidden here, then Kal Vachomer spitting, which is even worse than a kapandria, from general logic, should also be the same ruling. That's the argument.
Can be a situation that things that were allowed in Beis HaMikdash today in some shuls will be not permitted. I think about to eat. I think there is a Litvish shul. They not eat there. Like in the Hasidic shul, they make Sudash Lishit and they Sudot and this. And,
uh-huh.
And as far as I remember, in Beis HaMikdash,
right.
They were eating the meat.
I don't know if they ate it inside the shul. I don't know if they ate it there.
I listen. All the synagogues, you cannot eat.
It's a rule that In a Beit Knesset is not to eat. The general rule is in a Beit Knesset not to eat. But in the Beit HaMikdash, it depends if you declared, and when you built it, and you declared a room like a lamb or something else, then it's okay. But you have to decide at the time you're building it, because you're not allowed to morid b'kodesh. Malim b'kodesh are not morid, and eating is moridin.
Only when you was building it.
So eating is moridin. So if you made something as a shul, you're not allowed to eat in it because it's moridin. You're not allowed to sleep in it. You're not allowed to do anything less holy. But if at the time you made it, you said it's also for this and also for this, then when you use it for those other things, you're not going down. You're not moridin because that's what you said.
Like for example, many shuls, that shul as well, wasn't built. It was
when you made it a shul before you started davening in it. Because once you started davening in it, you can't go down. Can't do it down to something less. But if you didn't start davening yet, and you said, we've got a lovely building here, you know what? We'll make this bit the shul, we'll make this bit a kitchen, we'll make this bit a bedroom for the gabbai. But not a problem.
In the Beit HaMikdash, they were eating or not?
I don't know.
Well,
don't think so.
Both in LA and here.
Where
they're at? The shuls. Yeah. In fact, the shul I go to,
they
have kiddushes.
Yes.
In the main sanctuary area.
Okay, so it depends. So it could be okay. It's for sure it's okay if at the time they made the shul, they declared that was what was going to happen. Then blin neder.
And in LA, when our shul was firebombed and rebuilt, they opened it up so that there's a center courtyard for chuppah, and then the shul walls can get it opened up, and the... In the Kiddush area, it can open up. So it's one giant room.
Right, okay.
So and they simply expand the tables and put food, and we have a full Kiddush.
Okay. So there may also be leniencies in case you have no choices.
You cannot teach Torah.
You can't what? Can't teach Torah.
Only hours to pray, not to teach.
There's an argument over whether or not teaching Torah is higher or lower than praying, because you had the same argument about Moridim B'Kodesh and Malim B'Kodesh. You're not allowed to go down, but you can go up. There's a map of it whether learning Torah is higher than praying, or praying is higher than learning Torah.
Listen, to open the 50 gates, they say this gam is Eden. This gam is not the same as Eden.
Okay.
So in Eden, you can reach only with Eden.
Yeah, okay.
We have one more dog.
Do we? Oh, we do, you might. Thanks. One now. Okay. Well, we're going to stop there today. We're going to continue Bezrat Hashem on Tuesday. How long have we got left before Pesach? Before the end of this land?
2 weeks,
Wednesday, right? They're learning
until Rosh Chodesh
Nissan. Okay, so with that example, we'll aim to try and finish before in time for the last day of the last day of. We have to bring in a siyum on matzah. No, we can't have matzah 30 days before the chag. Siyum on fruit.
Wednesday, right? It's Wednesday.
What?
I'm not saying it was Tuesday class.
Yeah, he wrote on the door. He wrote on the door. There's a notice on the door.
What?
There's a notice on the door that class starts on Tuesday.
I know.